This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our resurrected Savior, we gather in celebration of your grand defeat of death on Easter. When we thought the story had ended, you gave the story of God with us fresh new life. This day we praise you for all the ways that you continue to defeat death and bring fresh new life to us. Not content to be raised alone, you graciously bring us along with you. You do something about that evil that we are unable to resist, death. We take heart. Not only that you defeated death, but that you continue to defeat death for us and in us. Amen. Please be seated. It's probably an unfair question to ask you, seeing the gospel that we just heard, but I'll ask it anyway. If I was to ask you, name a man whom Jesus raised from the dead, what would most of us say? You guys are good. Lazarus, that's the story we all remember. It seems to be the one that we will hear occasionally at funeral celebrations. It's the one that just seems to get all the press coverage, so to speak. And yet, here we are today, and Jesus does the same thing. And these seven sort of obscure verses from Luke's gospel tell an incredibly powerful story. And yet, there is such understatement with it that perhaps we miss the true impact of it. Jesus touches the bier, the little wicker casket that the man was in, and then with the classic understatement, and the man sat up and began to speak. Wow. You know, I can read that story and I just say, okay, I put down the book and Jesus did it again. Isn't that nice? This is an incredible story. Now, last week we dealt with the aspect of Trinity. We talked about God beyond us. We talked about God beside us. We talked about God within us. Trying to get a handle on something that we could use practically with our understanding of Trinity. But you know, I think that whole incredible mystery of the Trinity is easier for us to accept than what we are being called to accept on this day, with this incredibly pragmatic, graphic depiction of God beside us in Jesus. I think it is truly hard for us to believe in the depths of our being that God is there beside us in Jesus in such a way that from the depths of His own being, He wants to do whatever it will take to deal with whatever situation we are dealing with in our life to bring us comfort and hope for the journey. This is exactly what's going on here. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And Luke uses a special word for that. It's a word that in its root would mean from the gut, from the very depths of his being. Jesus was moved seeing this widow who's lost her only son. It's the same word for compassion that he uses when Luke talks about the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that one? Two people walk right by the guy that's been beaten up and has fallen by the roadside, and yet this despised Samaritan comes and moved with compassion. From the depths of his being, he is moved to action. This is what Jesus is doing here. Now, in our lives, when Jesus acts in this way, we aren't necessarily going to see people physically rising from the dead, but we are guaranteed that there's going to be a death of the death within us, that we are going to be able to have the strength for whatever it is we are going through, to know that there is a God who loves us with compassion and will be able to move on. That's what we're being called to believe today. And I think on the one hand it's so hard, but when I think of it in terms of other ways, it's so easy to believe because we experience it. I mean, think about this. We baptized little Tig Rothrock at the last service. And after that service, this cute little baby who did his best to try to avoid the water up here, he lost. There's not one person in this church that didn't want to hold that baby. Isn't it always that way with babies? It is a glimpse of God beside us in that moment. Think of a time when somebody has come up to you and said, "I am in love and we are just got engaged to be married." Even if you're not a hugger, you want to hug that person in that moment. There is something of God beside us in that moment because we can relate to whether or not we have experienced that or experienced somebody else close to us who has. Think of it when you are there, when you hear that somebody's loved one has died. And you are moved with compassion. And the only thing you want to do is take that person in your arms and hold them, even if you're not a hugger. These are ways in real life when we experience this compassionate God beside us. And this is what we are being called to believe in and commit ourselves with this story today. This is an incredible story. This is like two locomotives that are getting ready to have a head-on collision. Well, let me explain that. You've got Jesus over here, and as the gospel began with that parenthetical statement, he has just healed the centurion's servant. Now, you probably remember that story for the one line that seems to stick out in it, where the servant says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant shall be healed." And Jesus is amazed by the faith of this guy, and poof, the centurion's servant is healed, and Jesus doesn't even go over to the house. Now, that happens, and Jesus is now walking towards the gate of the city of Nain. He's got his disciples with him. He's got this crowd with him. It's probably like a victory march. Wow, this great prophet, what power he has. Could he be the Messiah? This is fantastic. Look what he has done. And you have this totally joy-filled procession going on this side, and you have completely the opposite over here. A widow's only son has died. She's lost her husband. The only visible means of support she had left was her son, and now he has died. Luke paints a picture here of the most desperate situation we could imagine. As a widow in that day and age, she was not going to have any protection under the law. She would be at the mercy of people around her. She could be homeless, penniless, just left to waste away. Can you think of a more desperate, hopeless situation than that funeral procession as they are marching the other direction towards the city gate? Total joy coming this way. Total desperation coming the other way. And as always happens, when that collision occurs between despair and hopelessness and Jesus Christ, guess who wins? Jesus does not even touch the dead body. If you read the first story that was appointed from the Old Testament today, where Elijah raises someone from the dead as well, he has to prostrate himself 3 times on top of that body. There's almost this comparison because the stories take place in the same geographic area of the Holy Land. Jesus just touches the casket, and the man is raised to life. What incredible power, what incredible compassion from the depths of his being that leads Jesus to action. I want to offer for us today some practical considerations for us. Because there are times in all of our lives, no matter if we're like that widow losing her only son, or if it's just a small disappointment in our lives, whatever pain, whatever suffering, whatever trouble we're finding ourselves experiencing on the journey, we have this compassionate God who wants to be there beside us and to help us. And there are some practical things that we need to do in that situation. The first is one that I think is so obvious, but we always forget it. Acknowledge our reality. Acknowledge our pain. Have the willingness to cry out to God and to talk to God about the way we are feeling. You know, the whole book of the 150 Psalms, that's what most of it is. It's God's people, whether they are joy-filled or whether they are despairing like that widow, crying out to God and expressing what's going on in their heart. And you know what? When we do that, there is healing in the very expression of it. You know, last night we sang the song we started with tonight, that glory, glory, hallelujah, and Saturday night is a healing service. Have you ever been there? 4:59, there's Bill French, myself, and the guitarist here, and two people. By 5 o'clock, somehow the bus appears, and all the people are in the pews. And last night we had 35 people, which for that service is a lot, but it's designed for people who need healing. We had a lot last night. But you know, we started to sing that song, and Charles started it last night, just like he did today with that beautiful soft solo. And it builds up in this crescendo as we go. And you know, the energy in that room right here last night, similarly to what happened here this morning, it goes from here to way up here. Because what is that song about? All my troubles will be over when I lay my burden down. And we're speaking to God and singing to God from the depths of what's going on down here. That's the beauty of the lament. That's the beauty of these spirituals that are a part of our American heritage, where the slaves would cry out to God and talk to God about what's going on. That is what is so important for us to be able to do in our prayer with God. I remember in the early days of my ministry, one of the first horrible things that happened was a young mother died. One little son. And I sit there with the dad and with the little boy, and he says, "Father Marty, we need to pray, but I don't know what to say." And I said, "You just say whatever is on your heart." And we're sitting there, and he closes his eyes, and he said, "God, this sucks." To me, that was the most beautiful and honest and significant prayer that I'm sure that young man had ever prayed in his life. Because he was crying out to God and expressing to God everything that he had in here. That is so important for us. And it is the beginning of the process of our healing to be able to do that. Then secondarily, what do we do with it? We don't leave it there. Then we turn it over to God and we ask God to help us. In this beautiful story that we heard today, there were no even words exchanged with that widow. That's how incredible Jesus is, how intuitive he is. And he comes into action. We express it to God. We analyze the alternatives. I could climb in on myself here. I could divorce myself from all people. I could climb up into a little hole and do nothing, yet what good is that going to do? Or I can reach out to God and I can reach out to find that compassion in other people who are going to be able to help me and to heal me. And then turn it over to Christ, whose incredible compassion is promised to be there for us. I heard a story of compassion that I was thinking about sharing last night, but didn't because I wanted to make sure it was true. Ed Voss gets credit for this, one of our parishioners here, and Ed had shared this story with me, and I just doubted its veracity because the hero of the story is a real guy whose name is Charlie Brown. So I thought, this has to be made up. But I researched it, and it's true. And it goes like this. You know, today is the 66th anniversary of the D-Day landing in Normandy in World War II. And this story comes from that time frame. There happened to be an airplane that was with the Allied forces that was flying in enemy territory over Germany. The pilot's name, Charlie Brown. They came under enemy fire. The gunner was killed, and it was so disgusting and gory that the blood of that gunner's body splattered all over the interior and exterior of that airplane. Half the tail was knocked off the airplane. There were bullet holes all the way through it. One of the engines was knocked out. The other wing was damaged. It was a minor miracle, if not major, that this plane was still in the air. Well, the German Luftwaffe found out from their radar that this plane was still up there. So they sent one of their pilots up there to shoot it out of the sky. So as this plane is struggling along, up on the right side comes this German Luftwaffe plane. The pilot of that plane looks over, and he gets so close that he can see the blood. He can see the tail that's half gone. He can see the wing that's damaged. He can see that there's smoke coming out and one of the engines is shot. He can see the fear and the terror on the face of those pilots because they don't even know what direction they're going. You know what he does? He doesn't shoot them. He goes like this and gestures for them to turn around. They were going in the wrong direction. They were going deeper into enemy territory. He escorts them all the way to the North Sea. And then as they go across the North Sea towards their homeland, he turns around and goes back to his base. He gets back to his base. The commanding officer says, "What happened?" He says, "That plane was damaged and it crashed into the sea, and so I came back." Never tells anybody anything about it. Well, the pilot of that plane did get home safely, Charlie Brown. And for 40 years, he wanted to find out who this person was who chose not to kill him and those in the plane, but to basically save their lives. Somehow he does research. Would you believe 40 years later, there is a reunion, and the men are brought together at this reunion? They check out the stories. They verify that it is the man. The man's name is Franz Stigler. And you can't see it very well. I didn't have a chance to have this projected. But here's them at the reunion, the actual reunion. And of course, the question that's asked of Franz Stigler is, why didn't you shoot them down? Here's his response. "I didn't have the heart to kill those brave men. I flew beside them for a long time. They were trying desperately to get home, and I was going to let them do that. I could not have shot at them. It would have been the same as shooting a man in a parachute." I don't know if Franz Stigler was a Christian, but he certainly displayed the compassionate love of Jesus. Just like that widow, in a most desperate of all situations, not only did he feel for them, but he acted. This is our God who lives beside us. Believe it. He wants to be there with you through all times, no matter how desperate, to be with you with his compassion, so that we will have strength for the journey. Let us take that to our prayer.